I'm Melissa Harris-Perry, and this is The Takeaway. On Monday, jury selection began in the trial of 67-year-old Gregory McMichael, 35-year-old Travis McMichael, and 52-year-old William Bryan, the three white men accused of murdering Ahmaud Arbery in February 2020. While Arbery was jogging near his home in Georgia, the McMichaels and their neighbor, Bryant, followed the 25-year-old and shot him to death from the back of their pickup truck. Video of the event was released and circulated widely on social media in the summer of 2020. Only now, more than a year later, is the trial beginning for these three men. We're joined now by Nicole Lewis, senior editor of Jurisprudence and Slate. Nicole, it's great to have you here.
Thanks for having me.
So remind us of who Ahmaud Arbery was and what happened to him.
So he was a young black man out for a run, as he did on many occasions in his own neighborhood, when he was pursued and ultimately killed. And, you know, accounts of him put him as a fun, loving guy. He was a former football player, just a sort of all-American person.
So clearly this slaying occurred at the same, you know, very close to the murder of George Floyd. And I'm able to say the murder of George Floyd because we've gone through an entire process of a trial and conviction of former officer Derek Chauvin. Why is it taking so long for this trial to begin?
That's right. I mean, I think it's even important to back up and say it took long for the McMichaels and Bryan to be indicted, right? For many months, they went free and a prosecutor suspected no wrongdoing in this case. And so that ultimately delays justice. And here we are again, where there were so many missteps. The prosecutor ultimately stepped down, right? It was turned over to another governing body. There were just so many missteps in bringing this case before a court. And so now here we are a year later. With jury selection set to begin, and even jury selection is likely going to be a lengthy process.
Why?
I mean, I think that it reflects a lot about the sentiments or the attitudes in our country in terms of how do we think about when a crime happens. And so in Georgia in particular, the McMichaels say that they were trying to conduct a citizen's arrest, right? So this is in Georgia statute, allows someone to pursue any person they think is in the process of committing a felony. And so there was some legal ambiguity about when you kill someone dead in the street without a trial, without, you know, any other justification than you believing that they're committing a crime, do you get indicted? Is this actually illegal? And so there was just some big question about that. And now we are, this case becomes a test of that law and to see if, you know, we understand that extrajudicial killings like this are considered legal or justified.
So how critical will jury selection be in this case?
Absolutely. So critically important here. And so this is a case that received both widespread national attention as well as local attention. This is something that you could not have missed when it happened, right? It was all over social media. People were talking about it. National news, local news were writing about it. And so it's very unlikely that the jury who selected doesn't know any of the details of this case. I think many people are looking to see, will this jury be selected in an unbiased manner? Will there be black people who are able to judge? Will it be a jury of his peers? What, you know, what will this look like? Someone pointed out to me yesterday that the community itself is a sort of a naturally occurring retirement community. So it tends to skew a little bit older, and older people tend to be a little bit more conservative. It also has a racial mix in which the town of Brunswick is majority black, but the surrounding county is not majority black. And so there's just a big question about who will show up and what this jury will look like.
All right, Nicole, can you tell us a bit about what the expectations are relative to the prosecution? What approach are they planning to take?
So the prosecution wants to make the case that this was a racially motivated killing, that the men pursued Arbery, that they killed him particularly precisely because he was black, that they thought that he fit the profile of someone who had committed a string of burglaries, and so that they were somehow justified in their minds in pursuing him and killing him. So that this is a racially motivated crime, and that they were not acting in self-defense, and that what we saw was akin to a murder. That is what the McMichaels and Bryan are charged with. And so that's the case that the prosecution is trying to make.
Do you have a sense of the ways that that so maybe there's no trial that's been quite like this, but certainly there have been, you know, sort of stand your ground kinds of killings or castle doctrine killings where a homeowner has killed someone who they perceive to be or who maybe actually is in the case of potentially robbing them or stealing from their home or their business. Do we have any sense of how those tend to go in Georgia?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's very tricky. So the stand your ground law was weakened in the wake of the Arbery killing. And so it no longer has quite the same teeth or wide berth as it did when he was shot. But these are very tricky cases because the stand your ground laws basically mean that you do not have to try to flee or get away. Or you don't have to show that you were acting in self-defense and then when things took a turn, you tried to escape first, right? You are entitled to standing your ground, to shooting back, right? To acting in an expanded kind of self-defense. And so it becomes really tricky, especially when you lack any kind of video evidence that and the person, the victim is dead, they can't share their side of the story. So these are very difficult cases. In this case, it's very important to point out that we actually do have video footage. So that changes the balance just a bit.
And so say a bit more about that. How do you expect the prosecution to use this footage? And do we expect the defense potentially to also use the footage in some way?
Absolutely. So, you know, video footage is open to interpretation as well. And so the key argument that the defense is trying to make is that McMichaels and Brian acted in self-defense, you know, that Arbery attacked them first, that this was not a racially motivated shooting. And so the video becomes really the pivotal thing that both sides of cases hangs on. And so the video shows a struggle. It shows the shooting, right? It shows that the McMichaels and Brian pursued Arbery and that he tried to get away. And so I think that both sides are going to try to hang their argument on what this footage shows. And it's not perfectly clear. It's not a view of the entire altercation. There's also some question of whether or not the McMichaels used a racial slur, right? And whether or not that's caught on video. And so I think they're just still, even with this evidence, there are big, big questions about what it shows and whose side does it truly support.
Let me ask about what's already happened in Georgia as a result, which is the passage of hate crime legislation. Do you expect that whether we get guilty or not guilty verdicts in this case, that it will make any difference in the sort of broader legislative aspects of the movement for racial justice?
You know, I think that that's a really important question, sort of the question that's hanging over this trial. And I just want to say that I spoke to an organizer down in Georgia, you know, just yesterday, and she made really clear that there are actually some bigger economic and political shifts that need to be made in this community in order for the people there to feel like they've really achieved some semblance of racial justice. So no matter the outcome of the trial, there are some underlying factors that she pointed out that make a killing like this even possible. And so without big changes, without more people, more Black people in particular, making more money, having more opportunity, being registered to vote, being able to vote, having politicians who reflect their interest, her concern was that even if you did get a guilty verdict, that something like this could easily happen again.
Nicole Lewis is senior editor of jurisprudence at Slate. Thank you so much for joining us.
Very good to be with you.
I'm Ira Flatow, host of Science Friday. For over 30 years, our team has been reporting high-quality news about science, technology, and medicine. News you won't get anywhere else. And now that political news is 24/7, our audience is turning to us to know about the really important stuff in their lives. Cancer, climate change, genetic engineering, childhood diseases. Our sponsors know the value of science and health news. For more sponsorship information, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.